We continue Be'ezat Hashem in our limud of Masechet Nedarim. We are up to Daf Mem Gimel, the top line of the Gemara. This limud is Le'inu Nishmat, Reuven ben David, Yosef ben Tamara, Harav Shalom Cohen ben Tfacha Malka, Yair ben Tova, Naim ben Chatun, Yom Tov ben Chana, Shaul ben Latife, Erez ben Miriam, Et Rivka bat Mordechai, Rivka bat Devorah, Eva Shlomit bat Ilana Esther, Chaya Esther, Chava bat Sarai, Luba bat Mazal, Alehem HaShalom. Also, Lizchut, Refuah Shelema for Aaron Yitzchak ben Brina, Avraham ben Aviva, Moshe ben Chana, Yaakov, Israel, Yochai ben Beluria, Esther bat Sarah, Gerastova bat Chana, Elisheva bat Neta, Chana bat Zulikan, Gabriela, Masuda bat Sarah. So the Gemara begins on the top of Mem Gimel, Amud Alef, to discuss the Mishnah that we learned on the bottom of Mem Bet Amud Bet, just to quickly review the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Hamudar Hana'a Mechavero, that one who's not allowed to have hana'a from his friend, lo yash'ilenu velo yish'al mimenu, the madir should not lend him any utensils to the mudar, and the mudar should not borrow from the madir. The Gemara will explain. It also says, lo yalvenu, the madir should not lend money to the mudar, velo yilve mimenu, the madir should not borrow money. And also, the Mishnah said, "Velo yimkor lo." The madir should not sell anything to the mudar. "Velo yikach mimenu," and the madir also cannot purchase anything from the mudar. So the Gemara begins by asking, "Bishlama lo yalvenu." I understand that the person from whom benefit is forbidden, the madir, he cannot lend money to the mudar. Dekam mehanele. Because he's benefiting him by lending him money. The madir is giving a benefit to the mudar. And the mudar is mudar hana'a from him. He cannot have benefit from him. Ela lo yilvehemenu. However, regarding the fact that he should not borrow money from him, the fact that the halakha that is stated in the Mishnah, that the madir should not borrow money from the mudar. The question is, maika mehanele? What hana'a is the madir giving the mudar? The madir is not giving any benefit to the mudar. After all, the madir is the one who's borrowing money from the mudar. So it is the madir who's having benefit, not the mudar. So what's the problem with that? Then the Gemara continues and says, but you know, even further, ubishlama lo ilve hemenu velo yikach hemenu. It's possible to even explain lo ilve hemenu, that the madir should not borrow from him. Okay, I can understand, because in some way, dekamitane mine. After all, it's possible to explain that the mudar is having hana'a from him by lending him money. Why? Because by lending him money, he's preserving the value of that money in case the coins deteriorate, right? And also by, when it says, velo yikach hemenu, that he should not purchase from him. So he's also, in selling him something, he's ridding himself of an item that's difficult to sell. Okay, so in that case, we can understand the kamitane mine, there is some kind of hana'a that the mudar is receiving from the madir. Ela lo yish'al hemenu. But what it says at the end of the Mishnah, what it says in the Mishnah, in the continuation, that the madir should not borrow any utensils from the mudar. Why not? Maika mitane mine? If the mudar is lending him a utensil, how is that any hana'a from him, for him? I mean, it is the madir who's borrowing the vessel. So what's the hana'a that the mudar is receiving? Amar Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Chanina, kigon shenadru hana'a ze mize. Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Chanina says, our Mishnah has to be referring to a case where it was a two-way neder. Both of them made nedarim not to have hana'a from each other. Well, that's why each one is not allowed to borrow either kelim or to borrow money from each other. Well, that simply explains it. Abaye amar, Abaye says a different answer. Really, you're right. Mi'ikar adin, essentially, halachically, there should not be any isur for the madir to borrow from the mudar. Yet, the Mishnah said that it's asur. It was a gezerah of Chachamim, gezerah lish'ol mishum lehash'il. Chachamim made a gezerah, a decree, not to borrow, because if you borrow, you might come to lend him as well. So for the Madir to borrow from the Mudar, although the Mudar is not receiving any Hana'a, but it's also Asur, because if the Madir will borrow from the Mudar, then it's possible that we will have a case as well. It would come to a case where the Mudar will borrow from the Madir, and that would be a violation of the Neder. V'chen bekulhu gezera, and this is the explanation to all of them. By halva'a, also by borrowing money, this that the Mishnah says that the Madir is not allowed to borrow money from the Mudar, although essentially that should be allowed, but it's a gezera, because if we allow the Madir to borrow from the Mudar, we are concerned that that might come to a case where one day the Mudar will also borrow from the Madir, and that's a violation of the Neder. The next Mishnah begins as follows. Amar lo ashileni paratcha. If a person said to his friend, can you please lend me your cow, your para? Amar lo, the owner of the cow told him, enapnuya, my cow is not available right now because I needed to do some work. And so the other person got so upset, and he said, Amar, konam sadi shani choresh ba leolam. You know what? If that's how it is, then I am making an edel that I am not allowed to plow my field with your cow. Konam sadi shani choresh ba leolam. And then afterwards, what happened? He lent him the cow. So then, imaya darko laharosh, if it was that person's normal custom to plow by himself, to plow his field with the para, hu asur v'chol adam mutarim, then he is not allowed to plow his field with the para as per his neder, but other people can do so. Because since the normal way of this person was to always do it himself, so when he made a neder, I am making a neder not to use your parat to plow my field, he meant only himself, because that's the normal case. But he didn't mean anybody else, so somebody else could come and do it for him. But v'im en darko laharosh, but if it's not his, if he's not accustomed to plow the field by himself, he always hires other people, hu v'chol adam asurim. Now, not only is he not allowed to plow his field with that para, but anybody else is not allowed also, as per his neder that he said, because obviously when he made the neder that I will not plow my field with your para, he meant even other people, because that's the normal way that he plows the field. So therefore, if other people can do it for him or not depends on what the norm is for this person in regards to plowing his field. The Mishnah continues and says, Hamudar hana'a mechavero, one who is not allowed to have hana'a from his friend by power of a neder, ve'en lo mayochal, and the mudar doesn't have what to eat. Now, the madir wants to give him food to eat, but he's not allowed to do so, because he made a neder that he cannot have hana'a from him. So there is a way how to get around it. There is a way how to give him food. Holech etzel achenvani. The madir, the one who made the neder, goes to the storekeeper, ve'omer, and he says to the storekeeper, look, ish peloni nudar mimeni hana'a. So-and-so is, by power of a neder, not allowed to have hana'a from me. Ve'eni yodea ma'ese, and I don't know what to do. And that's all he says. That's enough of a hint. Ve'hu noten lo uba ve'notel mize. The storekeeper will give food to the mudar, and uba ve'notel mize, meaning the storekeeper can then go back to the madir, and the madir can pay him for the food that he gave to the mudar. That's not considered like he was his shaliach to give him hana'a. So he hints to the storekeeper, to the effect that he would like to give food to this person. The chenvani goes ahead and gives him food, and the chenvani, the storekeeper, goes back and gets payment from the madir. The Mishnah continues and gives us another chidush. Haya beto livnot. Let's say the mudar needed to build his house. Gedero ligdo, or he needed to build a fence around his field. Sadehu liktzo, or he needed to harvest his field. Right? And now the madir wants to help him out, but the problem is, he is mudar hana from him. Right? Holech etzel poalim, so the madir can go to workers. Ve'omer, and he tells them, look, ish peloni mudar mimeni hana'a. So-and-so is not allowed to have hana'a from me because of a neder. Ve'eni yodea ma'ese, and I don't know what to do. They get the hint. The workers go and they work for the mudal. Let's say they go harvest the field of the mudal, or they build his house, or they build his fence. And the workers then go back and get their compensation from the madir. And the madir, if he wants, he can pay them, and there is no isur in this. If let's say the madir and the mudal were traveling on the way, and the mudal does not have food to eat. Now, since they're traveling on the way, so he's not able to do what we spoke about before, to go to a chenvani. There is no chenvani. They're traveling. They're far away from town. So we don't have this advice. We don't have this idea to go to the chenvani. So we're stuck in a problem. These two people are traveling. One is mudar hana from the other, and the mudar ran out of food. And the madir would like to give him food. What should he do? So the following should be done. Noten le'echad le'shum matana. The madir gives food to one of the people that were traveling with them on that train, on that bus, or whatever it may be. The madir gives food to a person le'shum matana as a gift. Ve'hala mutarba, and then the mudar is allowed to have hana'ah from that gift that was given to the other person. Because now he's having hana'ah from that person, not from the madir. He's getting hana'ah from the person who received the gift. Im eni mahem acher. If let's say there's no one else traveling with them, so you can't do this idea either. So what should we do? Meniach ala sela o ala gader. He takes food and he leaves it on a rock or on the fence. Ve'omer, and he says, harehen mufkarim lechol mishiachpots. I hereby declare that this food is hefker, it's ownerless, for anyone who would like to come and take. And the mudal runs there, he takes the food from the rock or from the fence, and he can eat it, because he's not having hana'ah now from the madir, because what he took was hefker. Rabbi Yossi oser. However, Rabbi Yossi says you can't do this. The Gemara will explain why Rabbi Yossi says so. And the Gemara begins immediately with that. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, my ta'ama de Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yochanan says, what's the reason that Rabbi Yossi says that it's asur? Kasavar hefker kematana. Because Rabbi Yossi holds the status of hefker is like that of matana, of a gift that is given. Ma matana ad de atya mirshut noten lirshut mekabel, af hefker ad de ati lirshut zoche. Meaning like this, Rabbi Yossi holds that the way hefker works is the same way matana, giving a gift, works. Just like by matana, just like by giving a gift. Ad de atya mirshut noten lirshut mekabel. The gift is considered still in the ownership of the giver until it actually reaches the reshut, the domain of the receiver. Once it gets to the domain, to the hands of the receiver, that's when the matana takes effect. Which means, up until that point, let's say a person said, I am giving a matana to so-and-so. He can still change his mind and not give it, and not give it at all, till the point where the mekabel, where the receiver, actually takes the matana, then it's too late. But up till that point, it is still under the ownership of the giver. So when does it change ownership? When is the transfer actually effected? Only once the mekabel receives it in his hands. That's by matana. Rabbi Yossi says, by hefker also, that's how it works. Af hefker, by hefker also, ad de'ate lirshut zoche, the hefker is still under the ownership of the original owner until the person who comes to take it from hefker. So it comes out, according to this, that's why Rabbi Yossi holds that even if the madir will be mafkir the food, right, and then the mudar will come and take it for himself, but he's still actually taking it straight from the madir. Because as long as nobody came to take it, it is still under the ownership of the madir. The moment it is taken by the person who takes from Hefker, that's when the transfer happens. So at that moment, he's actually taking from the Reshut of the Madir into his own Reshut. That's having Hana'a directly from him. That's according to Rabbi Yossi. That's why Rabbi Yossi held that tactic of Hefker is not going to work. It's not going to help. Whereas Tanakama, Chachamim, they hold, you could do it. Why? Because Hefker is not like Matana. Hefker, the second you are Mafkir, the second you declare the item ownerless, it goes out of the domain of the ownership of the original owner. So when the person comes and takes from Hefker, he's not taking from the owner, he's taking from Hefker, from something that is ownerless. And therefore, it's not considered having Hana'a from the Madir. Whereas according to Rabbi Yossi, not allowed, because it's considered that he's directly taking from the owner, that's having Hana'a from the Madir. That's how Rabbi Yochanan explains the Shita of Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah. So Mativ Rabbi Abba, so Rabbi Abba is going to ask a question on this explanation of Rabbi Yochanan. What does it say in a Braita? It says in a Braita, Vehala notel ve'ochel, ve'Rabbi Yossi oser. Right? That's the line at the end of our Mishnah, that the according to Tanakama, the Madir can be mafkir the food. He puts it on the rock or on the fence, and the Mudar comes and takes the food, and he can eat it. And Rabbi Yossi says, not allowed. Now the Braita continues and explains the words of Rabbi Yossi. Amar Rabbi Yossi ematai. Rabbi Yossi says, when do I say it's asur? Bizman shenidro kodem lehefkero. Only when the neder preceded the hefker, meaning the madir made the neder that the mudar cannot have hana from him, and only after the neder he then made his property hefker. Avalim haya hefkero kodem lenidro. But if let's say first the madir was mafkir his property, he rendered his property ownerless, and only afterwards he made the neder, hareze mutar. Then his friend is allowed to have hana'a from it. Then it's okay, even according to Rabbi Yossi. So the question is, if you say, according to you, Rabbi Yochanan, that you say that the reason of Rabbi Yossi, why is he not allowed, is because by Hefker, the item is still considered under the ownership of the original owner until the person who takes from Hefker takes it in his hands. If you say that it's still under the ownership of the original owner until it comes to the reshut of the zoche, to the reshut of the one who takes from Efker, mali nidro kodem lefkero, mali efkero kodem lenidro. What does it make a difference if the neder was before the hefker or if the hefker was done before the neder? Even in the case if the hefker was done before the neder, but as long as nobody came and took from the hefker, it's still belonging to the original owner, right? So that means when the mudar comes and takes it, he's taking directly from the owner. So in that case, it should also be asur, because he's mudar hana'a from him. Why does the Braita say that Rabbi Yossi makes a difference between if the hefker preceded the neder or if the neder preceded? According to Rabbi Yochanan's explanation, it shouldn't make a difference. Answers the Gemara, hu motivla vehu mishanela. Rabbi Abba was the one who asked this question, right? Hu motivla, he asked this question. Vehu mishanila. And Rabbi Abba himself is the one who answered his own question on Rabbi Yochanan. And he says, the answer is, kol hanoder en da'ato al ma sheifkir. One who makes a neder, that let's say Reuven made a neder that Shimon cannot have hana'a from him. When he made the neder, he did not have in mind to include items that he was already mafkir. Things that he was already mafkir is not included in his neder. So therefore, if the hefker, if the act of hefker, the declaration of hefker preceded the neder, well, the neder did not include the item of the hefker. That's why, in that case, even according to Rabbi Yossi, the mudar, Shimon, who is mudar, can take that food for himself, even though he's taking it directly from the madir. Because it's still under the ownership of the Madir until Shimon comes and takes it from Efker. But it's still okay. It's not a violation of the Neder because that item, which was Mufkar before, was not included in the Neder. And therefore he's allowed to have Hana'a from that item. Mativ Rava. Rava asks a question. We'll explain this question according to Rashi. There are various explanations here on this very difficult piece of Gemara. Rashi explains as follows. Mativ Rava. Rava is going to ask a question from a Braita on the statement that Rabbi Yochanan said before, that when it comes to Matana, we assume that the Matana, the gift, does not leave the ownership of the giver until it is in the hands, until it arrives in the hands of the Mikabel, of the receiver. Up until that point, the Matana is still under the ownership of the giver. And that's what he said. Hefker is also like that, and that's how he explained Rabbi Yossi. That's what he said before. Matana ad de'atya mirshut noten mirshut Mikabel. By Matana, it stays under the ownership of the Noten until it comes into the Reshut of the Mekabel. So Rava is going to question that from the following Braita. The Braita states, Miktzatan l'Rishon v'kulan l'Sheni, Rishon kana, Sheni lo kana. What is this Braita talking about? This is regarding Matnat Shchiv Mera. Matnat Shchiv Mera means someone who is on his deathbed, and he's giving orders to give to distribute his property as gifts to people. So now the halakha is that by a shchiv mera, if he gives an order to distribute all of his property, so then if, let's say, the person recovers, he doesn't die, he can retract the gift. He chozer bo, he can change his mind, and the property still belongs to him. However, the halakha is, if let's say he gave an order to distribute only a portion, a part of his property, and he kept the rest for himself, so then even if he recovers, he cannot retract the gift. The gift is still valid and effective. So now let's say he gave an order to distribute his property to two people, all right? Miktzatan l'arishon. Miktzatan meaning a portion of his property he ordered to be given to the first person. V'chulan l'sheni, and all of the remaining property he ordered to be given to the second person. So now, let's say the person recovered, he didn't die. Rishon kana, the first person acquired the property that was given to him because it was a partial gift, so he cannot retract from that. So Rishon kana. Sheni lo kana, the second person does not acquire the property that was given to him because it was a gift of all his remaining property, and that can be retracted. As we said, that's the din of matnat shchiv mera, right? So now here is the question that Rava is asking on Rabbi Yochanan. You, Rabbi Yochanan, what did you say? You said by matana, when a person orders to give a gift, the transaction, the transfer, does not take effect until the actual time when it goes into the hand of the receiver. Up until then, it's still under the ownership of the giver. So then the question is like this. If that's the case, then why do you say that the first one is kana? He acquires more than the second one. You said rishon kana, sheni lo kana. Why? They should both be not kana. Because even the first person, he didn't yet acquire the property, because the owner of the property, on his deathbed, he didn't die yet, right? So he didn't acquire the property yet. You're saying that by matana, it's not acquired, it is not transferred until he actually receives it. Over here, he's not going to actually receive it until the person dies. This person didn't die yet, right? So the matana, the transfer of the matana did not take place yet. If it did not take place yet, then the gift that's to the second person is also not a gift of all his remaining property. It's also a partial gift, because the property that he's giving to the first one wasn't given yet. So the property that he's giving to the second one is also a partial gift. Why do you say the sheni is lo kana any more than the rishon lo kana? Must be, we say that once he says that he's going to give the first one that partial gift, it's considered like it's no longer considered to be in the possession of the original owner. And that's why sheni lo kana, because giving him the remaining of the property is giving him a matana without any exception, and therefore that he can retract. Whereas if you say, like Rabbi Yochanan, that the transfer of the gift is not complete until the item comes, mamash, from the possession of the one who gives the gift into the possession of the one who receives the gift, then in this case, both of them should be kana. They should both acquire, because they both received partial property. From the fact that you're saying only kana rishon and not kana sheni, oh, so we see we don't hold like what Rabbi Yochanan says, that by matana the transfer is not taking effect only until the person receives it. No, the transaction already took effect. It already belongs like it's in the possession of the first person. And that's why the sheni lo kana, because by the sheni, the remaining property that he gave in was without any exception. And in that case, he can retract it. The person who gave it can retract, can change his mind when he recovers. So we see that there is a question, there is a stira on what Rabbi Yochanan holds. And thereby, we can't explain Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah based on the explanation that Rabbi Yochanan gave. So we're back to the question, what's the reason of Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah? Again, in our Mishnah that says that Tana Kama holds, the Madil can be mafkil the food, put it on the rock, and the Mudak can go take it. But Rabbi Yossi said, no, he cannot go take it. He cannot be Zocheh from the Efker. What's the reason? The Gemara says, Ela Amarava, Rava says, rather, Hainu Tama de Rabbi Yossi. This is the reason of Rabbi Yossi. Gezera Mishum Matenat Bet Choron. Really, you're right. Even according to Rabbi Yossi will agree that halachically, the mudar should be able to take the food from the rock after it became hefker, because he's not having hana from him. However, it's a gezera midrabanan that the mudar cannot take that food after it was declared hefker. Why? It's a gezera mishum matenat bet choron, because of the story of the gift of Bet Choron. There was once a case that occurred in the city called Bet Choron involving a person who also did this. He was mafkir in order to give food for the mudar. He was mafkir his food, but when he was mafkir, when he declared it ownerless, he didn't have in mind that anyone should be able to come and take. He wanted only this particular person to take the mudar. So that's not a valid hifker. So if the person will come and take, if the mudar will come and take the food, he's violating the neder. The case in Matenat Bet Choron was that the person employed a trick. He gave a gift to another person, but only al menat, only on condition that he should give it to him. Or he was mafkir only on condition that the mudar should take it. In that case, the matana is not considered a matana, and the hefker is not considered hefker. In that case, the mudar would not be allowed to have an av from it, because the madir specifically had him in mind. So therefore, even in the case where the person is totally mafkir the food, Rabbi Yossi says it's asur, because of a gezerah, it might come to a case where people will take it lightly and they'll do it in a trickery way, like the story of Matenat Bet Choron, where it was fake. Yeah, he gave it as a gift to someone else, but he gave it as a gift, only that he should give it to the mudar. That would not be allowed. And that's the reason of Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah. We'll stop here for today. We'll continue Be'ezat Hashem tomorrow from Tanya HaMafkir Etzadehu.